This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, news guy Noah Ovshinsky brings us up to date on the top Wisconsin stories of the week.
First, a look at a moose mystery. Moose are closer than I thought to Wisconsin. They live just on the other side of the border in northeastern Minnesota, but their numbers have been on the decline there and elsewhere in the country.
Our next guest is trying to figure out why. Michelle Karstensen joins us. She's Wildlife Health Program Supervisor for the Minnesota DNR. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, first off, tell us, how bad is it? What kind of decline are we seeing in moose populations?
Well, we've had quite a steep decline in Minnesota in recent years. We actually used to have a population in the northwest part of our state, as well as the northeast. And in the northwest, we had 4,000 animals in the early 80s. And at this point, it's less than 100 animals left in that part.
That's a huge drop, isn't it?
Exactly. And in the northeast, we're seeing a very similar trend. We peaked at around 8,000 animals in maybe the mid-2000s. But since then, we've had a 52% decline just from 2010 alone. And now our latest population estimate is about 2,700 animals left.
Is this something that's just in Minnesota, or is this happening in other states around the country?
No, we're not alone. What we're seeing is trends that are occurring in different states as well as Canadian provinces where moose have been on the decline, and especially some of their more traditional habitats. However, in some areas, they're actually expanding. For example, in some of the agricultural zones in Saskatchewan, for example, they're moving into some areas where they haven't really been seen before, yet declining in other parts of the province where moose have been for centuries. So there's a lot of mystery occurring on some of these shifts in habitat.
I imagine it's your job to get to the bottom of this. What are you thinking so far about what's causing it?
Oh, I wish it was an easy one to answer, but in these situations, it's very complex, and there's been a lot of work that's gone on in Minnesota, particularly with this issue, and past research has indicated there seems to be a very evident health component to our moose, meaning that they're not healthy and that parasites and disease might be driving this decline. But if you back up from that for a minute and think, well, what drives parasites and disease, we could be looking at things such as warming climate, where parasites can live longer and survive, especially with shorter winters and milder temperatures. So this system is complex, and we're trying to tease out all of these factors to try to understand what might be the driver.
Before we get into some of the particular parasites and diseases you have on your culprits list, how do you even try to figure this out? What are you out there doing to try to solve the mystery?
Well, we launched a really cool study this past winter, and it involves using satellite collar technology. So we caught 110 moose in northeast Minnesota and put collars on them that actually communicate through satellite systems all the way to my desk here in my office, and I can monitor moose right from my computer. And when a moose dies, it sends a text message to our smartphones, and I have a team of responders working 24/7 every day of the year, looking for messages that come through when a moose dies. And it says, "Hi, I'm your moose, and I'm dead, and this is where I'm at."
Wow.
And then we try to get there within 24 hours to get good diagnostic samples of what might have occurred in that mortality event.
I don't know where to start with that. First of all, it's mind-blowing that the moose dies and it sends you a text message through technology of some sort. I don't know. I'm just on a personal level, what is it like getting a message like that?
Wakes you up, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We have custom ringtones that are standard for our moose. So when the moose call us, we're definitely ready.
And so when you're responding, what kind of health problems are you seeing in these moose that drop dead?
Well, currently we've had 18% of our animals die in the first 7 to 8 months of this project.
Wow.
And that's been a combination of factors, including winter tick-related deaths at the end of winter. We've had a case of brain worm. It's a parasite that affects the brain of moose. We've had wolf kills or wolf-related injuries that have had secondary infections. And in some of the cases with our wolf kills, we were able to get samples there at the site because we got there so fast and understand that they had some underlying health issues. For example, one had a lesion in the brain, and another one had a wound in the front leg, as well as some previous predator wound that actually compromised that animal. So when we see wolf kills, it doesn't just mean a wolf killed it. It also could mean the animal was predisposed to predation.
Now, you mentioned tick deaths, and I wouldn't think that, you know, I know ticks are a drag and they can cause Lyme disease, but are they enough to kill a moose?
Yeah, we're actually talking about winter ticks in this case, and this is a tick that's really evolved to grow on moose. And they attach to the moose at the end of summer, more like fall, in their larval stage. And they stay on the moose all winter. And they grow to a nymph stage, and then they mature, and they fall off about April. But a moose can have tens of thousands of these ticks on one animal. It's not uncommon. Mm. And with all these ticks on them, as you can imagine, that's a lot of blood loss, as well as irritating. So they scratch along the trees, and they try to get the ticks off, and it breaks their skin, or sorry, breaks their hair, so that their undercoat is exposed, or they actually rub themselves raw. And mind you, it's still winter when this occurs, so they can be more subject to exposure at that time, especially if winter, you know, drags on longer. And there they are with less blood, anemic, and less of a winter coat to keep them warm.
You mentioned climate change is a possible underlying factor. Do these winter ticks have, a better environment to spread if we have warmer, less severe winters?
Absolutely. I mean, what would be good to kill ticks is if you had heavy snow early in the fall, so that when they're in that larval stage, they get, you know, dropped down and they can't really get on the moose. Another good thing is if you had a really prolonged winter, so that when the adults are dropping off the moose in April, they're falling into snow and cold conditions and having a better chance of dying. But when you have a short winter, it favors ticks on both ends of that spectrum. So they're getting on the moose, they're living on the moose, and when they fall off in April, they're actually reproducing and increasing in abundance for the next year.
Now, Gary in Iron River, Michigan, emails, and this reminds me of a news story I just heard. Michigan Tech in Houghton, Michigan, has studied the moose and wolf population on Isle Royale for decades. They just came out with their recent reports. They said something like, it's a great time to be a moose on Isle Royale. They're doing pretty well. Do you coordinate at all with the Michigan DNR to see why moose are doing okay there but not elsewhere?
Yeah, we actually share information all across North America and even internationally. I have information being presented this week in Sweden with some of our collaborators on a moose conference there. So moose is definitely on a lot of minds and being discussed. And in Michigan's Isle Royale, that's one of the longest studies of predator prey ever. It's a really neat dynamic. And what's going on there is also that wolves are in decline. So when you have that shift of predator, then the prey has a better opportunity to rebuild. And in that cycle, they've had moose crashes and moose peaks numerous times as they've been watching that. And sometimes it's habitat-related. Sometimes it's been winter tick outbreaks. And up and down the cycle goes.
You talked about earlier a 50% decline in moose populations in some areas, huge numbers of decline. And I just wonder, how urgent do biologists feel about this right now? It seems to me if these trends continue, you're looking at, you know, a mooseless Minnesota.
We could be, and that's very alarming for us. And, of course, none of us want that. But, you know, we need to understand what's changed in our system that is, you know, driving this decline at such a rate that we haven't seen. It's even steeper than what we've documented in the Northwest. And that's one thing, to try to even understand what's driving it. And the second thing is there even anything we can do to reverse that trend? I mean, we've stopped our hunt, but that really was taking such a small portion of animals that that really wasn't affecting population dynamics. But what else can be done? Is it a habitat issue where we could change the management of our forests and increase more habitat for moose? You know, some of those types of things, more prescribed burns, more young sectional forests. So we need to try to figure it out. But the clock is ticking. So you're very right that we might not get to the answer in time to really reverse this.
Well, pending solving what is causing this drop in numbers, apart from cutting away the hunt, which you said only makes a small difference, is there anything going on right now to try to stabilize the population?
Well, there's a lot of research efforts going on right now, as I mentioned, to understand it. But there's also some habitat manipulation projects underway where they have quite a bit of resources invested in creating moose habitat areas and then monitoring how moose react to that, which could be additional prescribed burn areas or new cuts in moose range where they're trying to disturb the area enough to attract moose to see if they're using those new spaces and benefiting from that. So on the habitat front, there's changes underway to try to get at some of these questions.
Now, you said you're tagging a lot of these moose. I assume you know roundabout where they are. Do you ever think about treating them for ticks like you do a dog? Is that remotely feasible?
We've heard that quite a bit. And honestly, that's just not really something you can do across a population. You could treat an individual, but, you know, handling these animals is dangerous for us and the animal, and it's only such a small number that we come in contact with. So when you think about treating an animal like this across the whole landscape, and for these tick, you know, applications, as you know with your dogs, it's just not once that you can do it.
Right.
It's got to be repeated, and it has to be on an annual basis. And just the sheer magnitude and cost of trying to do something like that on a wildlife population makes it really unfeasible.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us, and maybe we'll check in, hopefully with happier news down the road.
Thank you.
That was Michelle Carstensen, Wildlife Health Program Supervisor for the Minnesota DNR.